Hello, and welcome to this, the 100th episode of the End Zone Podcast. We have a very special show for you guys today, so I'm not going to talk for a super long time at the beginning here. About a week ago, I was thinking, the World Cup's starting pretty soon, and if you're listening to this, we're probably about 1 to 2 weeks into the competition. I kept thinking, why don't I do a podcast episode where I talk about a World Cup of football? Then I realized I can't really do that because most every American player, there are some international players like Jay Ajayi, but I would say a good percentage of 95% of the players in the NFL are American, which makes it hard to do an international competition. So the next thought came into my head. Why can't football grow internationally? Why do we only have American players? Why aren't there more leagues overseas like basketball and the NHL and soccer? You look at a sport like hockey, Alexander Ovechkin, Russian, Sidney Crosby, Canadian. These guys come from all over the world to play here in the United States and Canada. Then you look at a sport like basketball. They have European leagues, Chinese leagues, and though they aren't the same caliber of competition as the NBA, they can still hold Olympic events for these nations. And then you look at the World Cup, the sport of soccer that has grown all over the globe, that is so accessible to everyone, and that almost every nation plays. Why can't football be that? I don't have an answer. So I went out and got a lot, and by a lot I mean 4 to 5 interviews with different people, asking them about why they think football can't grow internationally. Here are their answers. I hope you enjoy. We're going to start out with PSF writer Ian Kuzik. So here with us today is Ian Kuzik on this megapod, I guess, is what I'm going to call this at the end of the show. And I've asked Ian because he's a big football fan, a huge New England Patriots fan, at Ian M. Kuzik on Twitter, as he gets hyped up to deliver his response here, to tell me his thoughts on why he believes that football hasn't grown internationally and whether he thinks it can or not. And Ian, I'll just give you the floor.
Well, it simply comes down to the fact that football is a very complicated sport. There's a lot of small parts to it. It's kind of a confusing sport to someone who doesn't know it by default. Like, I know, even I remember my freshman year of high school when I first really learned how to play football, I was so confused by all the obscure rules, a lot of the obscurity in the game, and it makes it really confusing to catch on. And unless you've been kind of raised in a football culture, it's kind of difficult to catch on with that. That's why it's a lot more popular in the United States than it is in Europe, because in the United States, obviously, the NFL's been around since well before our parents were around. So obviously we know football and we're more used to it. And that's why, like, things like NFL Europe back in the 90s and early 2000s didn't work out, because it was just too complicated for people to understand, because there were so many minor obscure rules and the game just did not make any sense. And with teams only being able to make so much interest because of this in these countries, the league itself was really unstable, and that's why it was losing millions of dollars every season. And you can kind of see the NFL, okay, I'll continue. So you can kind of see that the NFL is working on easing it in. Instead of just going all in with a whole league, you can see that, like, you know, they started off with, like, the Jaguars playing an international game in London. And you can see that they're now doing, like, what, 3-4 games a season in London now? It's expanding to the international markets. And with, like, events like the Super Bowl being broadcasted in 60 countries this year, I think that, even though I don't think it's going to catch on nearly as well as, you know, it catches on here or even in, like, other North American countries, I think that there is the possibility that football can expand into Europe if the league does it right.
So I'd like you to expand on one thing. You said football's a confusing sport with a lot of different intricacies to it. What do you think is the biggest turnoff within those quote-unquote complex issues that you don't think other countries can understand because they don't have as much of a football presence as we do?
Well, I think it's just the pace of the game, really, because football is obviously the slowest paced sport that I can think of, at least, where it's like, you know, they run one play for 5 or 6 seconds and then it's like 30 seconds of break. You know, in Europe, they don't really have that with any sports. Like, I guess sort of like International League Baseball, but that's not even close to the same level as how football is. Because you got sports like soccer, you got rugby, things like that. That's continuous play. Cricket, another example, where there's always something going on that it's kind of hard for like a sport like football to catch on, where the pace is just so much slower and there isn't as much action consistently. Football, obviously, you have a lot of really high action plays in those 6 seconds, but then the 30 seconds in between, it turns people off. And that would be my explanation for why that is.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right, joining us now is NFL.com writer Mark Sessler to share his thoughts on this topic. So, Mark, let me just ask you. The question for today is this. Why do you think football hasn't grown internationally as well as some other sports and produced athletes from other countries like sports like hockey and basketball have?
It's a good question. It's definitely a question I think the NFL wrestles with as well. I mean, they, you know, I've read before, and it's a league initiative to have about 400 million fans worldwide. And I think right now the number sits closer to 300 million. And so that means, where do you get that extra overhang? And it's international, because you're always going to gain new fans in the States, but there's reason to think that it's not going to double or something. It's sort of where it is. And so you have to look internationally, and they have been doing that. I think the London series has grown in popularity, and having been to London and met with fans there, like what you have there, and it reminds me a little bit of how soccer was for a while in this country, were incredibly passionate fans, but it was a pocket of fans. Because one problem with the NFL when you go across the Atlantic Ocean is games are starting late at night. Sunday night football or Thursday night football is starting in the middle of the night. So you're asking for a different level of commitment. And if you want to go look at a market like China, where there's very little foothold from the NFL, but it's absolutely a goal. You've got 1.5 billion people there. And why is it not experiencing, you know, growth the way that the basketball and NBA, the NBA has overseas? Well, it's an isolated sport. I think that's the big issue. Soccer is played country against country, incredible rivalries. There's deep history to soccer and to other sports, you know, being an international showdown between stars that then come together and play on various other teams. Football just doesn't have that foothold. There's no Yao Ming for China to grasp onto on an NFL team. That, you know, that helps basketball when you've got international players. That helps hockey, where other countries are going to fall in love with the idea of tracking one of their own on an NBA team. I mean, I thought a couple times you've had rugby players from Australia come over to play, attempt to latch on to an NFL team. And you see, I just being on Twitter, you hear from all sorts of people in Australia or New Zealand when that happens, because there's suddenly international interest. And football needs to find a way to branch beyond its sort of isolated stance, where you're not developing players for the most part outside the country. I mean, it's played, and there are leagues, dotted around the landscape of the entire globe, but it's nothing like soccer. And that's the issue, is like, how do you grow it? And maybe, you know, the leagues talked for a long time, it's not just, how do you do more than 3 games in England? You know, how do you maybe have a team over there? Do you grow by having a team internationally? It creates a lot of issues in terms of, I think, competitive balance. And is it harder to sign a free agent, a star free agent player, to go play in, you know, Brazil, or to go play in England, or especially somewhere even farther away. So you look at the countries where it's popular, and it's Mexico, it's Canada, Germany and England have those pocket fan bases, but it's not the same as basketball. And I think, like, the bottom line is it's isolated stance where it's really just a U.S. sport still for the most part.
What do you think is the best way to expand the sport? If you were in Roger Goodell's shoes all of a sudden and you had to put together a plan to kind of expand not only the fan base of football, but find a way to get other people from other countries to join to work at football in their native country and then come to the U.S. and participate in football, how would you do that?
Well, I think that you have to look at the obvious problem there, because, and what have they tried to do? You can't peddle an inferior version of the NFL in other countries. And they had NFL Europe over there, which generated, I think that was sort of a grassroots movement to get fans in various countries over in Europe engaged in football, and they used, part of the roster was players who were developed in Europe. So that is a good idea, except that the product was not NFL caliber. And so I think honestly it's a bit of a slow grind, because you really need the sport to grow as a sport, from the ground like up in these countries. You want to have, honestly, like, if you're American, How plugged in would you be to watch, like, a sport that only is played in South Korea or fill in the blank country with not a single American? It's like, we have so many other things to occupy our time. Like, unless you had some sort of unusual passion for that particular hobby, you're probably going to gravitate towards sports that are on your television, easily accessible, with people that come from your state, your town, towns and, like, states around you, players that you can track through college. I mean, the football is more than just the games. It's the draft. It's everything. It's like, there's so many other elements that make it what it is, that if these players are only coming from America, that's your biggest issue. So you've got to find a way to grow the sport. I think there was, like, you look at top 50 most famous athletes, usually at most there's like two NFL players. I think a recent list, Tom Brady and maybe Cam Newton were the only two on that list. And there's like 20 soccer players. There's a bunch of rugby players, because those are international sports. So if I were Roger Goodell, how do you do it? How do you grow a sport in a country where you have no jurisdiction? They can control what they're doing, you know, in the States, but not somewhere else. Like, it just has to naturally grow in interest by other countries deciding to do it. And I think the one thing that states can do, which they are doing, or what the NFL can do, is play games in Mexico, play games in London, play games in China. Except the other issue is, I think largely, you talk to coaches and players, it's incredibly disruptive for them to have to suddenly go to London for a week. They're all about habits. They want the least amount of distraction. And while it's a nice thing for the NFL, and I think most would agree to that, it's not easy to tell a team to suddenly go overseas and play a game. It's incredibly disruptive. And so that you can't just expect buy-in from our own 32 teams. That's another major issue.
Okay, here is the final question here. Within the lifetime of the game, we'll just say within the next 50 years, do you think that the NFL will ever see a major international competition like hockey and basketball have the Olympics, like baseball has the International World Series, and like soccer has the World Cup?
Yeah, I think it's very possible. I mean, 50 years, let's look where football was 50 years ago. You'd never imagine it would have morphed into what it is today. And there already is an international presence. It's not what they would want it to be right now, but there are millions, you know, there are millions and millions of people that track football. And so 50 years from now, because the world is just obviously becoming so, there is no distant land anymore. We can all track what's happening almost anywhere if we wish. And so I naturally would expect There's two things that can happen. A, naturally, football could grow and you could find it becoming a sport in other countries. The other issue that the NFL has, obviously, is the long-term concern and research over the nature of the sport, its violence, and what it's done and doing to people who choose to play it. So the other tug of war there is the world accepting, you know, the pitfalls of pro football, on the health side. It's like, you know, 20 years ago when I was young, would I play football? Absolutely. I played tackle football from age, sixth grade on. And now with kids of my own, and everyone's asked this question, like I'd have to think about if it's the best activity they could take on, because sports in general are something I think that you want to participate in when you're young. There's something great about being on a team. Is football the only way to accomplish that? For me, it was the best team sport I played, but I think differently now with what I know about having my own kids play. I just have to think about it. And I think that, if it's not part of your culture, how do you introduce that as the number one thing you want to do with your time or with your children if it has this innate concern and danger attached to it that we didn't know about before? So the challenges are there and the opportunities there, and the league is growing at the pace it is because it's really complex to ask other parts of the world to simply do what America's doing, when I think a sport like soccer is just simply more accessible to different countries. You don't need all this equipment. You just go grab a ball and you play. And so football just has an uphill battle, but for people that fall into it and love it, like, there's really no other sport like it.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us.
You got it. Thank you.
So I grabbed Mark Sessler, and Mark's great. He's dope. I love him, and he's always on the show. But Mark and I both don't live out of a country. Neither does Ian. So I decided to journey outside my comfort zone a little bit and put a question out to a group of strangers. A group of strangers on the Around the NFL podcast subreddit. Now, to be fair, I don't think I asked the question in the best way. I think a lot of people responded thinking they were actually going to be on the Around the NFL podcast. And if you got that impression, I really do apologize. I noticed as soon as I started getting responses how I phrased it wrong. But still, there were a bunch of international people who were willing to help me out, and I got four or five of their interviews right here. First off, we're going to start with a guy from Ireland, Rob Callahan, who talks about some of the challenges of the time zones with the game of football internationally. All right, joining me now is Robert Callahan from the nation of Ireland. How are you doing today, Robert?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, thanks. Now, doing pretty well.
So my question, and the question of this episode, is kind of about why football isn't growing as well internationally as, say, a sport like soccer or basketball. What are some of the challenges that football faces growing internationally?
So even in terms of an international market, I suppose primarily I'd always talk about Ireland. We're kind of saturated with sport in Ireland anyways it is. So we have our own national sports going. Soccer is very popular here as well. The English Premier League, as you'd know it as. They'd be quite popular also. But I think one of the big reasons is the time zones. There is the few hours of a difference there. There's the 5 or 6 hour difference between the East Coast games, and then you're talking about the West Coast, you're talking about the middle of the night, you're talking about 2 o'clock, 2 a.m. here. If you were to stay up and watch one. So that'd be one of the big ones. I suppose even talking about Ireland, it's not been pushed here as much. I think the only game I've ever really heard of coming anywhere close to Ireland, as in on this country, sometimes I think I'd know that the army come over and play in Dublin, I think, every so often. But that's about it. I think it's just a lack of exposure. You don't really hear of the NFL here, unless you're talking about people who regularly watch Sky Sports. Sky Sports would be a big pusher on the NFL stuff here. But apart from that, it's just purely down to exposure. We kind of get saturated with soccer really more than anything in rugby.
What do you think the NFL could do better to better expose their product in places like Ireland, where it's such a saturated sports market?
Yeah, so I suppose one place where it's kind of behind really in Ireland is that there's a huge grassroots fan base in a lot of the sports here. Rugby would have a massive fan base here based on big clubs that would be based around the country. GAA, which would be the national sports of Ireland, would be another big one as well, where you've got a bunch of county teams or club teams that would be quite popular here as well. That's kind of one place where the NFL maybe falls a bit behind. But the other one really, the big thing I suppose that they could do is, as the London games are a huge help because the time zones are so agreeable. So it, again, I know the logistics wouldn't be great, but again, if you're talking about adding some more games to London, that'd be a massive help. Or even if there was one in Dublin, there's a large stadium in Dublin, Croke Park, holds about 80,000 people. It would be something else if there was a game there. It would be a massive boost to viewership, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you think that football within the next 50 years will ever be able to produce international players at the level that, say, soccer, basketball have, and for there to be able to be an international competition for football like there is the World Cup, like there is the Olympics?
So it's really hard to compare. I think the big area where I think it's always something that I suppose people who watch sports like soccer, as you mentioned, the big difference I find as well between the two sports is there is a World Cup for soccer. There's a World Cup for rugby. Whereas if you talk about the NFL, it's very, like, you'll often hear that, you know, the Super Bowl champions are the world champions. Whereas in fact, they only play the sport in the United States. So that's one place, I suppose, where it's kind of hard to compare if they are, you know, the world-class athletes. But at the same time, there have been players from other sports like rugby who've come in to the NFL and they haven't quite really breached the market. Like there was a rugby player who broke in. Philip Payne, I think was his name, or something along those lines. Jared Payne, something along those lines. He came from the States and he didn't quite break into it. He was a special teamer, I think. I know there's as well, there was another Australian, I think, some fella from down around that neck of the woods anyway, where he was drafted, I think, this year in the late rounds. So again, I suppose with regards to the world-class athletes, it's just hard to break out of the American market if it's just not as well recognized.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely understand that. Do you think, another question I have, final one I have today is, how did you get involved with watching the NFL? Like, as an international fan and as someone who likes the sport of American football, can you just kind of tell me about how you got into it and kind of who your favorite team is and just a little bit more about what drew you to American football and what you think would help draw other Irish men and women to the sport as well?
Yeah, so I think the initial draw for me was, I'm a fan of sports games and Madden kind of got me. So I remember playing Madden one time at a friend's house and there was a lot of Hail Marys thrown and all this kind of stuff. It was exciting enough, to be fair. But I started kind of watching, and a big draw for me, when I started watching some games, Drew Brees was a guy who kind of brought me in, because I know he doesn't have the rings to back it up, but as far as I would see it, he'd be nearly considered as one of the best of all time, if not the best. He's an unbelievable player, and he'd be kind of, I follow the Saints, as you probably know by the Reddit handle, but I've been following them now for about 4 years, I'd say. They're about 4 or 5 years, I think. So I missed the Super Bowl boat, but, you know, can't really be perfect on timing. But in fairness, when it comes to watching the NFL, a big difference between the sports again would be the break of play. Mm-hmm. a lot of what, especially Irish fans, I would see, a lot of them would find the break in play to be quite disinteresting. Whereas in our own national sports, which are being played more prominently at the moment, the championship is kind of being played at the moment. If you've heard of it, hurling is one of the national sports of Ireland.
I have not heard of it.
Yeah, it's really good if you look it up. It's the fastest field sport in the world.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so with hurling, it's a case of 15 players on 15 players. The main televised version of it is based on areas. So similar to American football, where you'd have, you know, New England has their Patriots, New York has their two teams, the Jets, the Giants, and all that. Every county in Ireland, each area, I suppose, every state, as you'd call them in the United States, every county would have their own team.
All right.
And based on the sport, be it Gaelic football, which is one of the national sports, or hurling, which is the second national sport, they would kind of play in their respective provincial championships, and then they'd push on to the national stage. So the way it works, Cork is where I'm from. So again, Cork would be the county that I follow, the team that I follow. And the idea, what it is anyway, is it's 15 players, play 15 players. Most points at the end wins. There's no thing where like one team starts off with the ball and the other team has to wait for it. Everyone fights for the ball at the one time.
So is it like rugby?
I would like this. I suppose it's got a similar concept where both teams are vying for the ball at the same time.
Okay.
But with hurling, it's much faster pace. It's got a lot more action and skill. It revolves around players that use sticks called hurleys. And they hit, I suppose, I couldn't really say it's like baseball as such, but they're hitting a ball of the same size, but they're hitting it while they can move, they can run and all this kind of stuff. Again, there's more rules to it and there's more kind of descriptions on it, but that's kind of the basis of it. And then you'd imagine the posts would be like a set of rugby posts, rugby goal posts. If you hit the ball over the bar, it's 1 point. If you hit the ball into the net, it's 3 points. And whatever team comes out with the most points wins.
Awesome. Well, that sounds really interesting. Hey, thanks for your time, man.
No worries.
Simon Horned is from Germany. He's a big football fan and has been for a while now. But he believes one of the major reasons football can't grow internationally is similar to Ian's reasoning. It's just too complicated for some foreigners to understand. Here he explains a little bit more. Okay, joining me now, all the way from Germany, is Simon Horrend. Thanks for joining us, Simon. Where in Germany are you today?
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm in southern Germany in the city of Würzburg, which is in Bavaria.
Oh, very cool. I'm a big Bayern Munich soccer fan, so I've been down there a few times. That's pretty cool. I have some friends that live in Stuckau, so I don't know if you know where that is.
Yeah, I know. I know about it, yes.
Cool. All right, man. Well, thanks for joining the podcast today. We're kind of talking about football and kind of the struggles it has growing internationally. In your opinion, why do you think football has – you're obviously a football fan. I reached out to you on the Around the NFL subreddit, Around the NFL. We're having Mark Sessler on this episode, actually. It's his great podcast that he's a part of. I highly recommend you all go check it out. But Simon kind of volunteered to share his thoughts on this, so I'll just throw it to you, Simon. Why don't you think that American football – can't grow as well as football does?
Well, first of all, I think one of the biggest problems, at least for me here in Germany, is the time difference. The earliest game starts at 7 in the evening here, and the latest starts at half past two in late in the night. So that's a bit of a problem if you have to work or, like me, go to university. So that makes it really difficult to follow the later games like Monday night football or Sunday night football. And another problem is that the rules are, in comparison to soccer, relatively complicated. So when you compare it to soccer, it's kind of easy. You just have to shoot the ball into the goal. So it's kind of easy. You can do it everywhere and anywhere, and everybody can understand it. And football is obviously a lot more complicated. And in contrast to soccer, you have in soccer, something is always happening. In football, you always have breaks and nothing is happening. So when it's late at night and nothing is happening, it can be quite boring, especially if you don't understand all the rules. So that's kind of, I think those are the main problems. Another problem is that you don't have many international players in the NFL. You had Sebastian Vollmer, for example, as a German player, but there are not much. Most of them are Americans, so you can't easily identify with them when you're outside of the US. And I think those are pretty much the biggest reasons why American football has problems to grow internationally, or especially maybe in Germany.
Okay, Simon, I'm going to put you in a hypothetical situation here. I'm going to say you're Roger Goodell. You're the commissioner of the NFL. What would you do to help football grow internationally in a place, say, like Germany? How would you go about doing that?
Well, I think they have some pretty good ideas with the international series in London. Maybe it would be a good idea to have some games in Germany too, or to have more games in Germany. And I've heard the idea floating around of maybe even having a London team. So that would, I guess, increase the popularity a lot in Europe. If you had a team in Europe, and if you would adjust the plan of the games or the time of the games accordingly, so that it's easier to have the games accessible to normal times for people here in Europe. I think that would be a really big deal, and also maybe to work with some local sports teams who offer soccer or something like that, to send some, maybe even NFL players there to help coach them and have them play some games or some drills or something like that, so that people see it's not that hard to play football, to understand football, American football. So maybe the people get a better idea and become fascinated, kind of like I did. So I think that would be a pretty good start.
Absolutely. Do you think in the next 50 years we'll ever see a point where football has expanded enough that we can have a World Cup of American football?
I sure do hope so, yes. And I think, at least I hope it will, because right now football, American football, is increasingly popular in Germany. We have some shows when I started watching American football, I had to watch some live streams on the internet in Spanish. I don't understand a word in Spanish, but I wanted to see the games. So obviously I stuck with what I got. And right now we have a TV show, and there's a second TV show during the week where they talk about tactics and something like that, which just shows that it's increasing in popularity. And I hope this trend continues, so people like me who are interested for a long time have the chance to experience even more football.
One or two unrelated questions here. Who's your favorite team?
I do like the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Steelers. All right. Yeah. Do you think they're going to do well this year? Do you have any big concerns for them?
Well, obviously, Ben Roethlisberger is one of my concerns, and the defense, because I think Big Ben, he started last year really slow. He got better during the year, but the start of the season was just horrible. And I think the defense is going to be a problem if they want to beat New England. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Simon, thank you very much for staying up till 9 German time. I'm sure you have a job tomorrow morning or university. But thank you very much for joining us, and I hope you have a good day or night.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and shout out to Mark Sessler.
Yeah, thanks. See ya.
See ya.
Okay, with me right now is Matthias Landini, correct?
Yeah, Matthias Landini, yeah, hi.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, how do you say your first name again?
Matthias, or just call me Matt.
Matt from England. thanks for joining us today. So, why do you think football has struggles kind of growing internationally, unlike these sports like soccer and hockey and basketball that have kind of expanded into the European markets? And in soccer's case, we're born in the European markets.
Sure.
Uh, more effectively than football has?
So I have this conversation with a friend of mine, pretty much every time we talk about sports. And so I got into American football when I was at university back in 2009. And ever since, I've been kind of like trying to get him into it, and he just is really reluctant. And you know, he's not like a massive sports fan, but he brings up like one really, really good point, or a couple of really good points about football. And one is that soccer, as you call it, all you need is like a round thing. You don't even need like an official ball. You literally just need like a balloon at some points. You know what I mean? Like anyone can do it, and just to hoof a ball around from one to another, one to the next, is completely universal. Just kicking one thing from one person to the next, and that's one of the big reasons why soccer is so huge. It's just so easy to get to do it. Like kids do it in the street, and football's you kind of need at least. Well, I mean, like two people is like catch, right? It's not actually football. And then, like you, like flag is like what, 5-on-5, 7-on-7, something like that. So yeah. It's kind of like you need to get a group of people to get it together. And I think that's where you get the difficulties, because like four guys playing football in the park is one thing, but then to play like amateurly, you need 7-on-7. You might need like some cones to put down. To show like where your end zones are, etc., etc. So I think maybe from just like a point of that it's not very easy to do on the fly is one part. I think that's like a really big part of why it's not so universal. It's a shame though, because I really enjoy the sport, and the sport itself's picking up in the UK. It's actually the fastest growing sport in the UK at the moment, and it's got a British league called BAFA. Which is, so every like major town has got an amateur American football team, but the players aren't paid. So,
right.
I don't think it will get to a professional stage in the UK anytime soon. But I know that in the European leagues, they're semi-pro, so they'll be paid some money, but it won't be like enough for them to live on.
What do you think Roger Goodell could do better to kind of expand the international play?
See, I don't know if this is something that he would personally be able to be responsible for.
Well, of course, but hypothetically, let's say sure. You're the commissioner of the National Football League. What would you do to grow the sport of football internationally?
I think one of the major things is you need to target youth. If you want to grow a sport, you need to like introduce it to people while they're young. It's how people get into soccer in the UK. People are playing football since, well, their dads kind of give them a football for like their second birthday, and then they're kicking like the ball up and down the garden for the rest of their life, basically. So I think something that the NFL could do as an organization is to really like support grassroots football in other countries. I don't know how they would do that. Obviously, it's like a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Right.
So if it really put its mind to and really wanted to, it could. But like, does the NFL really want like secondary schools in the UK to have access to like pads and helmets? And probably not. I don't think they really care. But yeah, I mean, I think maybe even if it wasn't just the actual NFL, maybe if individual teams loaned money out, or loaned like a guest coach to go out to the UK, do a tour or something. No idea, but any of those things could definitely like pique interest at the very least.
So you think a loan system like in soccer, I apologize for calling it soccer.
Yeah, no worries, man.
I'm an American, of course. So do you think a loan system like soccer has would be beneficial to the NFL?
So for example, a player gets loaned from one team to another, or like gets loaned from like one team to do like a, do you know what the NFL UK tour is? Do you know that?
Yeah.
So if like that, is that what you're referring to? Or do you refer to?
Yeah. Or like a player in the off season gets loaned to one of the BAFA league teams, a lower level player from the professional leagues.
I think you need like practice squad guys.
Let's say like a backup, like Blaine Gabbert. let's say,
mate, if Blaine Gabbert comes to the UK, he like whatever team he's on would like storm to the Premiership in no time.
Right. So, do you think that would help the sport grow if occasionally teams gave kind of their lower tier players who didn't get as much playing time?
It would be
more of a competitive chance in playing in Europe.
I think it would be massive for the people who are in the know. And I think something about the NFL is that for people who know it, like that would be absolutely massive. Like to know that Blaine Gabbert or God, all the backup QBs have got out of my head.
Brett Hundley.
Yeah.
Let's say Brett Hundley. Let's pretend Jay Cutler wants to play in Europe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay. Any one of those guys want to come play in Europe, that would be absolutely huge. People in the know would travel far and wide to go and watch that player play. The problem is that people who don't know like actually would not care, wouldn't go on the radar, and the I think the challenge isn't necessarily to increase the attractiveness for people who already are fans of the NFL. The challenge is to get people who aren't necessarily interested in the NFL to pay some attention. And one of the things that's really helping with that is the Wembley games. So the Wembley games are phenomenal because those are like 3 to 4 90,000 seat sellout games every single year. And those tickets, they go in the first like maybe 10 minutes of going online. Mm-hmm. So it was a 10 a.m. sell, the tickets go live. I was sat there at work pressing F5 on the website, just desperately trying to get tickets. And all of my friends were texting me saying how they were all desperately trying to get tickets and they couldn't get them and stuff. It's a real, those things go fast. Like there's definitely an interest.
Right. So you think the NFL should have more London games? You think that would help?
I think maybe the number of London games could stay about the same, but I think maybe exploring different venues would be really, really good. I think maybe not just necessarily in London, but in different parts of the UK. There's other like large stadiums in England and Scotland. But I don't know whether they'd be able to do that. I know they're signing a lot of deals with English clubs in like specifically in London. So there's Twickenham Stadium, which is an old rugby stadium, Wembley. There's I think there's Tottenham Hotspur's new stadium is signing a really long-term deal, but those are all in London, and people will travel like maybe 4 or 5 hours to just to get down there for the day or for the weekend. But people travel from Europe as well, so maybe it wouldn't directly be beneficial for people in the UK. But if you held a game in like Germany or France or Norway, I mean, you'd get just as many Europeans coming down there just to travel to get down there.
And then finally, how did you get interested in the NFL? How did you stumble upon it, and kind of what team are you a fan of?
Okay, so I have to tell this story properly, otherwise I get called a bandwagoner. So it was 2000. So I just got to university. I'd literally never played any sport. I was really bad at soccer. I was bad at rugby. I was bad at everything. And it might be the same in the States, but in the UK, when you get to university, the sports fairs are huge. So it's every team, and there's literally anyone can make a team of anything. And one of the bigger things was American football. So I went to Hull University. The team there was the Hull Sharks, and I joined up and really enjoyed it. And a friend of mine said, "Well, you need a team." And I said, "Well, I don't know how to pick them. Like they're all, none of them have got like I don't have any family in the States. I haven't really thought about it. I don't have a particular favorite city. It would literally just be throwing a dart on the map." And he said, "Oh, you have to do what everyone does in the UK. We're going to hit random button, random team on Madden." So we went around to his house, hit random team. And the Saints came up, and he's a Green Bay fan, and we played it. I beat him 3 times in a row on Madden. And so I was like, right, okay, I'll be a Saints fan then. That year was 2009. It was like September 2009. And then they went and had their like Super Bowl winning season. And I thought, well, if I've got to stick with them now, like even if they have horrible seasons after this, I've got to stick with them. And they didn't have the best couple of seasons after that, but here I am still, Saints fan. I'm going to go see them against the Dolphins in Wembley. So that's my story.
It's funny you say that. We have another Saints fan from Ireland who actually came on the podcast as
well.
Yeah, so Saints, very popular European team, even if it's just by random happens.
There's random coincidences, man. You've got to hold on to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, well, thanks very much for joining us, man.
Hey, no worries, man. Thank you for having me.
Matthias was a great interview. He really had a lot to say about the international game, and I gained some of the most insightful comments from his interview. If you didn't hear it or you want to hear it again, go back and listen to it right now. He makes some really good points about just every facet of why international football has some troubles growing and also the hope behind it growing. I came out of that interview more hopeful than any other interview that someday football could grow to have an international competition. Now, moving on to our final interview, our friend Tom from Wales finishes up talking to us a little bit more about international football. Okay, so joining us now is Tom McFarlane from Wales. How you doing, man?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. So the question, of course, of this episode is a big one. Why hasn't football expanded internationally kind of at the rate sports like soccer and basketball and hockey have?
Well, from my point of view, I got into it when I was in university, my first year of university, because of a housemate. And I think it's twofold. One, the first time you watch American football, it's not a viewer-friendly sport. Like, it must have taken me 4 or 5 games before I had a single clue what a down was. But I think presenters like Tony Romo, watching him, because I got Game Pass this year and I managed to watch a lot of games live staying up, he made it so much easier to get into. The other thing is it's generational. So people, I'm sure yourself, you get into American football, and I got into Formula One and soccer. It's through your dad or through your parents. Mm-hmm. So I think now it is getting a good grip. NFL is getting a good grip in Britain. If I mention it, I'm in university. If I mention it there, 3 or 4 people will be, oh, yeah, I've watched a couple of games. I think it'll start really expanding once a good core of people get into it and they talk to their friends, their kids, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Whereas you watch soccer for 6 minutes, you know what the rules are, you kick it the right way.
Right.
Where in football, there's so much going on.
Right. What do you think is the solution to kind of expanding the game internationally more?
I think I'm not sure about international, but in the UK, I think if you've got more UK presenters in, rather than going just off the Fox broadcast, because then they're going to be presenting at a level where the viewers might understand what's going on a bit more. Also, you just don't see it that much. It's getting a big set now in Sky Sports in Britain, but up until, I'd say, this year, I wouldn't know there was an NFL game on by watching normal TV, whereas they'd mention soccer all the time.
Of course.
I think.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, sorry. Did I interrupt you there? Were you?
No, sorry.
Oh, yeah. So do you think that soccer will ever have American football will ever have a world tournament, kind of like the World Cup or the Olympics for basketball and hockey?
I certainly like it to, but I think that might be a bit of a distance just because of the just difference in quality. Mm-hmm. You talk about, so you've got the rookies this year drafted trying to get into American football. They've been playing some version of it since they were, 6, 7 years old. And it's still a massive jump to get into the NFL. So you're going to have to start so early in a place like the UK. So I think, yes, it's possible. But I don't think it's right around the corner. I know the university teams, which is obviously where a lot of my viewpoint is from, they're getting exponentially better year on year. I've been in university now for 4 or 5 years. And the quality of play there is already so much better than when I started.
Mm-hmm. How did you get into American football? And who's kind of your team?
Oh, my team are the Colts.
Look at that.
My team of the Colts, and I got into it through maybe the nerdiest way ever. Mm-hmm. I was playing a video game you may or may not heard of called Blood Bowl.
Oh, no.
No,
it's fine. It's effectively fantasy playing sports, so it's elves and orcs, etc., whatever. And a friend of mine who I was living with, it was very nerdy. He looked over my shoulder and said, "Oh, that's just American football." And I said, "Oh, I've never really watched it." He was like, "Oh, yeah, what do you like?" And I was like, "Oh, I just throw the ball and hope I don't get hit." And he just looked at me dead in the eyes and went, "You would love Peyton Manning." And that was the first year I watched, and that was the year, I think that was the year Bounty Gate year, so they lost the Saints in the Super Bowl. Ooh. And that was it. I was hooked from my first year.
Wow. Hey, well, coincidentally, I'm a Denver Broncos fan. So,
oh, awesome.
Also a huge Peyton Manning fan. But yeah, hey, thanks very much for joining us today, man.
It's no problem at all. Been a pleasure.
The next interview on this podcast is a little bit different. I was joined by Mr. Flame, a man who teaches economics in The Hague, the Netherlands. Go check out his class at flameclass.com. Mr. F is an interesting story. He was born in the U.S., fell in love with the game of football, but hasn't lived in the United States since 2004 and has consumed football internationally from outside the country. I thought this might be an interesting perspective to tap into. Hope you enjoy the interview. So I'm joined now by Mike Flame, who is currently in Portugal. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me on your show.
Hey, no, I thank you for being on my show. It is great to talk to you and get to know you a little bit. So you have an interesting kind of story as far as viewing football goes. You're from the States originally, correct?
Well, I grew up overseas, and then we moved back to the States when I was 9 in 77. And then my wife and I went back overseas in 2004, and we've been outside the country ever since.
Right. So I thought it would be interesting to get your perspective on kind of the growth of football internationally as someone who's seen what it is here and now also seen what it is outside of the United States. So first, let me ask you this. What was the biggest challenge because I know you're a big football fan, obviously.
Yeah.
What was the biggest challenge when you moved out of the States with keeping up with the game of American football?
I think that the combination of things, I really liked to listen to the KOA broadcast of the Broncos games. So to try and get the radio streaming was extremely convoluted. I tried everything from like shortwave radio to internet downloads to a program that allowed me to listen through a VPN to an internet feed for a radio show out of, ironically, Wyoming, which had the Broncos broadcast live. So you'd get car ads in the local tire company while you were listening to the Broncos in the Netherlands from a radio station, which was one of the, you know, affiliated stations of the Denver Broncos radio. So then I went to the NFL Network and Game Pass, and they allowed you to listen to the Denver Broncos radio while you watched the Denver Broncos game. Until last year, they took the radio feature out. So hopefully they're going to add it back again this year. So it's been a bit of a up and down challenge to get kind of your hometown favorite listening opportunity wherever you are, but the internet makes it pretty available.
So why do you think football kind of has trouble expanding overseas? Because obviously there's a very niche and passionate fan base about American football overseas, kind of like there is that here in the United States with soccer. Why do you think it's so hard to kind of branch out throughout Europe?
Well, I think, at least in terms of football, there's a lot of infrastructure that you kind of have to have in place that maybe kind of prices out a lot of young players. So it's not a sport which you would get a lot of youth to try, whereas soccer or basketball can be played with really low overhead. So the equipment alone, I would think, would price out a lot of countries to ever even want to play American football. So they had, obviously, the NFL Europe League for a while, and it was really popular in its way. And I think the game is really popular, especially in the UK, but I think it's hard to get kids to play. They don't have the facilities and they don't have the equipment. So I'd say that's probably the biggest stumbling block to getting a team in the Netherlands, for example, again.
Yeah.
They used to have the Amsterdam Admirals back in the NFL Europe days.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, what do you think the best way to kind of grow the game internationally is?
Well, I think that the NFL way of getting a professional team, one of the 32 teams overseas, then what that does is it brings in the multi-billion dollar industry, I would think. And that gives a real trickle-down effect, potentially, with a professional team being in one city that could then kind of branch out from there to create youth programs and broaden the game in that way. If you ever get a chance to go to the NFL London game, they've got the sequence before the games, which is the combine, and it's just such a blast. All these kids are competing, and it's really a fun atmosphere. And that's the other aspect of the NFL games in London, is that the crossover, so many fans from so many teams. So I think if you had any team in London, there would be a huge following that would then lead to kind of a groundswell, sort of grassroots kids playing in the park kind of football that would maybe lead to teams being organized.
Right. Yeah, I think that's one of the big things I've figured out through doing a lot of these interviews, is infrastructure is a huge part of why football really struggles overseas. It's not only that the games are hard to access, it's that the game itself is harder to access than I think a lot of Americans think it is. I think because it's so readily available to go buy a football and some flags and play a game of flag football in the park here, but it's less accessible overseas, which I found that a little bit surprising. But that's I don't know. I'm not sure how they would expand it more. I think even like that, like setting up. The NFL has their flag football leagues here. Like if they set up those kind of youth programs overseas, I'm sure there would be interest for it. Is there overseas interest for the game of football? Like people who have never seen the game before, who enjoy sports, is there interest for it?
I think there is a fascination with the game, and it is a really complex game if you've never seen it. And I'd say that for a viewer on television who's used to sports besides American sports in particular, so the sports in the U.S. are based around television viewing, and sports in other places are not based around television viewing. They take all of the commercials, you just watch a live game, and it's literally 45 minutes for the first half of a soccer game, or 40 minutes for the first half of a rugby union game, and then there's halftime commentary at the halftime, and then they go again. So they're not built to have a television audience. So the viewers are not used to the highly complex sort of set game, technical aspect of American football. But if people watch, there is a fascination with the complexity as well as the athleticism. and the highly specialized position athleticism that's in American football makes it really interesting to true sports fans, I think, worldwide. So I've had to explain world rugby to Americans as well as to friends who don't watch it here in the Netherlands or, well, I'm in Portugal right now, but you know what I mean. And that's very similar to trying to explain American football and all the nuances of the rules. Don't let us get started on the catch rule.
Those
complexities, if you're a true sports fan, it's really, really fun to kind of get involved and steeped into a new game that's like that. American football is pretty unique in terms of its just how complex every single play is.
Yeah, when you really get to thinking about it, it's one of the sports that has the most depth, I'd argue, in the world. Because with soccer, I'm not bashing soccer here, but soccer has one real level to it. There's the tactics, and then the goal is pretty simple. It's just to get the ball into the net and keep the ball out of your net. But I'd say the American football has the most depth of just different things you can get lost in a wormhole on it within the game.
Yeah, it is pretty great that way. I think every sport, if you really are watching it a lot, there's aspects of the game that are kind of broken, and the same way the catch rule in American football has issues, and maybe it's been fixed and maybe it hasn't. There's also the in world soccer, and we'll see it in the World Cup, there's the fact that we end up with a shootout, which is really not football. And the same way it's done in hockey and soccer have very, very similar tactics in many ways. In terms of the way you have icing and you have offsides, there's aspects of those two sports which are really similar. So, I think that American football, when people get involved in it, is great for the viewer. But I think it's a hard sell, given how different people's experiences are. Yeah, Eric, I've had to go down to join the choir now.
Okay, I will let...
So it's going to have to be a little bit short.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you have fun singing with your chamber choir singers. Oh, just one small...
Do another?
Yeah. A yes or no question for you. Do you think within the next 50 years we will ever be able to see any type of international American football competition?
Yeah, I think less than that.
Okay.
I think maybe in 10 years.
All right. Well,
I think we might have teams in two overseas locations, maybe within only 10 years.
All right.
Outside the U.S. I think that's definitely possible.
Absolutely. All right. Well,
which would be great.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Eric.
This is the final interview of this project. It came from NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal, also a member of the Around the NFL podcast. First, I'd like to thank Greg again for giving me his time. It was a dream come true to talk to one of my journalistic heroes. I apologize. Within the first 2 minutes, it's basically me just fanboying. Once you get past that, though, Greg has some really insightful takes on how he thinks the game of football is growing internationally. This is the last interview of this episode, episode 100, and I'd just like to say thank you to all our listeners for giving us your time and letting us talk to you through 100 episodes. But this isn't the end of a 100 episode spectacular. There will be a part 2 uploaded shortly after this show is uploaded. So as soon as you're done listening to this show, make sure you go back. You go ahead and listen to episode 101, where I talk to the NFL Vice President of Marketing internationally. It was a fascinating discussion, and it ended up being about a 40-minute interview, even though I was at first looking for 10 minutes. But Mr. Hodgson, the vice president of international football marketing, was more than generous with his time. Go check that out. And again, thanks for listening through 100 episodes. We'll see you next time. All right, joining us now is Greg Rosenthal of the Around the NFL podcast. First of all, Greg, thanks so much for joining us. You're the second Around the NFL podcast member in, like, I don't know if you've seen, like, the Infinity Wars or whatever, but let's just say that I'm Thanos and I'm wearing that glove thing or whatever. And each of the heroes is just kind of like an Infinity Stone. And I don't know, like, I've been kind of, I've been talking with Wes for a while, and we're going to try to get him on in July. And if I can somehow get through to the Dan Hanser's inner circle, like, I'm going to be unstoppable. So, you guys.
Well, I know people that could get you into the Dan Hanser's inner circle. And one way to get there is to never mention, you know, the Infinity Wars or any Marvel movie, because both he and I, we don't get those references.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big Marvel movie guy. It's just a popular thing in, like, normal everyday, like, conversation these days. Like, I was at work for some reason and someone brought it up and I was like, I haven't even seen the movie, but I understand that. Like, I understand the reference because I guess Twitter has poisoned my brain, but
I appreciate it. You know, I'm insulted that, you know, Mark Sessler was on like four times in a row before me. So, but I'll get past that.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? We're gonna try to have you on later this month, so we'll try to catch you up in the quota.
All right.
Okay, so the topic at hand today, though, is the World Cup's coming up. We're recording this on Wednesday the 13th. It actually starts tomorrow. So I was kind of thinking about doing this show about, like, the World Cup of, like, NFL teams, and then I thought to myself, well, that's a stupid idea because 95% of the league is American players. And that got me thinking to, like, a bigger question of, like, why football can't produce international players quite yet like hockey and basketball and soccer can. Soccer has its obvious, like, upper hands. It's everywhere and it's been everywhere forever. But, like, hockey, like, Alexander Ovechkin just won the Stanley Cup. He's all the way from Russia, and, like, some of the best hockey players in the league right now are Eastern European or people, there are a few players from Asia. And basketball's got such a diverse mix of, like, Eastern Europeans, Asian players, stuff like that. And the NFL landscape, as far as, like, nationalities go, is pretty bland. I don't know if you feel the same way, but what are your kind of thoughts about that? Like, why don't you think football has grown as much internationally as, say, like, basketball or hockey has?
Well, you can't find the players to start on that front, you know, without a history and infrastructure of building the game itself, you know, at the high school or elementary school and college level. And obviously football, American football, hasn't really taken hold in many countries, although it's, you know, made a pretty decent imprint in some of Europe, certainly the UK. I mean, Jay Ajayi comes out of that. I don't know if you're trying to talk to NFL UK Hank from Handsome Hank from the Damashek show for this, but he's literally the vice president at the NFL in charge of growing the sport internationally, and a lot of that focus is on trying to build interest in the game from the ground level, have people playing the sport from the ground level, because I think that's the only way you're going to end up getting some players. And there certainly have been some decent ones. I'm thinking of, like, Sebastian Vollmer of the Patriots is German, and a lot of guys that who come over maybe for college and they start playing the sport for the first time in college. You know, Japan has a pretty decent NFL fan base. I mean, it's at least there a little bit. And, you know, we have experience, at least in the UK, and I think it's the same in Germany. It's a pretty big sport. I mean, it's not soccer there or anything like that, but it has a niche, kind of like soccer does here. And I found going to the games in London, for instance, that were, as a podcast, much more popular there per capita, really, than we are here. I walk into the game in London, you know, tons of fans are stopping me and wanting to talk to me, and that would never happen at an American game.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because like a lot of the I decided to really, like, your whole podcast has actually helped this project that I've kind of coerced together, because I went on the subreddit, which is great. If you're an Around the NFL fan, go get on that. But I reached out and I was like, hey, I need like some international fans. And legitimately like 70 people replied to just a random podcast request about talking about the NFL and why it hasn't grown internationally the way that these bigger sports have. So there's definitely like a fan base in these other countries.
Yeah, we see that, and that's, you know, we see that when you look at the numbers of our podcast, it's practically half the people listening to it are international, and then when you divide that up, it's really from all over the globe. It's a pretty good chunk of people from Australia, different places in Europe, certainly South America, and, you know, Mexico and Canada, all that stuff. So there's an interest, but these are diehard fans that are having to find the sport the tough way, and to actually come up with, you know, players and to start, you know, building television packages in these other countries, you know, I think the sport itself has to be a little more understandable to the average fan, and for that to happen, I think you have to know about it as a kid, and so that means not just seeing it on TV, which is super helpful, but also, you know, playing it and knowing people that play it and having high school teams and college teams, and that's a big challenge, but it's something the NFL has definitely been trying to do, whether it's in China, in Japan, in Europe.
So you think that the biggest thing the NFL can do to help kind of grow is reinforce not only the games and like televising things more, but also like the infrastructure part of the game?
Yeah, I think having like a history of it. I mean, obviously, any way that you can, you know, get the game overseas, it has made a huge impact in London. It's like it is an international sport in my mind, because it has an audience in England, and I think Germany's the same, and the games there are packed, and they're packed with fans that aren't necessarily fans of the two teams that are playing. They just want to see NFL football, and there's a few, you know, big time bars and casinos in London that are packed with fans on Sundays watching NFL football, and it's not just expats. I think it's largely people growing up there, and now there's a history of them doing that for 20-30 years. So it's trying to find, you know, other markets that would be into it, like England, like Germany, and you know, I mean, just from a pure money standpoint, from the NFL's perspective, it's like it's getting TV deals, you know, there. We're on Sky Sports now, the NFL, the Around the NFL podcast is in their pregame and postgame show, and just doing stuff like that. Like, it's probably not a bad idea to just send our podcast all around the world, you know, for different years at a time, a couple of years in London, a couple of years in Germany, you know, just around, and we'll grow the game ourselves just by moving around.
Yeah, I think Roger Goodell's on board with that. So we'll.
It's not a crazy idea. Yeah. Like, it'd be cost effective compared to other strategies. It's like they have a whole office in London. Give me a break. I mean, in Tokyo, I know for a fact they have an office there. It's like we'd be much cheaper.
So I had kind of a thought talking to all these international guests and Mark and all these different people. A lot of the problems that the NFL runs into is like the time zone. As someone who's worked for the NFL and someone who's kind of seen the structure of how they run their business, do you think the NFL would be opposed to having like 1 week a year where on American soil they moved all the games back to like 7 in the morning, and
no.
And like when the latest game of the day would be like the 2 p.m. game?
No, That's never happening. I mean, they're never gonna, because that to me is a thumb in your eye at the home audience, the home crowd, and they're never gonna do that. I mean, I think they've gone pretty far in, you know, having the games in London so early. I think they'll have a Super Bowl in London, you know, at some point, and Shad Khan buying Wembley Stadium could help with that, or maybe it'll be in Tottenham. I wouldn't be surprised if there's, you know, a team in London. I mean, you know, some, you know, I don't know if it'd be the Jags or whoever it would be. That to me is a much more logical way to do it. You're right, the time zone's a killer. I'm a huge tennis fan, and so I get it back the other way, but it's even worse, really, at least in terms of Europe. I think our time zone, it, you know, in terms of the primetime games, totally get killed over in Europe, but there's not much more you can do. And the Sunday games are on during the middle of the day or in primetime there, so it's not the worst thing.
Right. So do you think we'll ever be able to see an international football competition like the World Cup has? And apologies to all the people who are going to be listening to this, because we're going to have a lot of international listeners for this one, I have a feeling, because we have a lot of international people on it. When I say football, I mean American football, not soccer. But do you think we'll ever be able to have an American football kind of World Cup within, let's say, the lifetime span of a game, which is kind of like, if you look at it, things are kind of, in my opinion, bleak for like the timeline future of the NFL, as far as once you look past like 30 years down the road.
Well, I definitely don't think you could have a World Cup in that amount of time. In a perfect world where the sport got, you know, more popular in the UK, in Germany, in some other places, China, for instance, maybe you could imagine in the distant future a Ryder Cup type scenario where it's US versus the world, and who knows, maybe it's just like a regular, you know, NFL team, not a team of all-stars going up against the world, but that would be a dream. At this point, I think the NFL would be happy if even a small percentage of the world understood the sport. I mean, I kind of ran into that with my wife, who was not an NFL fan whatsoever, and got into it when she and I got together. And, you know, it took like a few years for her to really understand the rules just watching it. I think that's pretty common. It's such a complicated sport to just even understand just the first downs and the penalties and everything like that. Like, let's do that before we're taking on the rest of the world World Cup style.
Yeah. Well, Greg, thank you very much. Is there anything else you thoughts on this topic, just general stuff you got to get off your chest?
No, just, you know, if Raj is out there listening, I think this around the NFL podcast around the world to grow the game is a pretty hot idea that
hey,
people can get behind.
And Raj, if you're listening, I was inspired by Greg, who, when I said he was one of my dream guests to dream bigger, our biggest NFL guest of all time, we're shooting for Roger Goodell. So, Roger Goodell, if you're listening to this, love to get you on the podcast.
Wow. I mean, I said to aim higher when you were looking for me. I would say still aim higher than Roger Goodell. You know, I think you can do even better than him. He'd be a great guest, but you can do better.
All right. Okay. Thanks very much, Greg.
All right. See you, man.
A big thanks to all our listeners again. This has been an amazing 100 episodes. Again, check out episode 101 after this. I'm back with you now, just because there are a few more thank yous I have to give. One, thank you for all the international listeners of the Around the NFL podcast who gave me their time. I put out a request on subreddit for international people to come on the podcast. Now, I realized almost immediately once I started getting hundreds of responses that I had made a terrible mistake in the phrasing of that question. However, people were more than helpful to me. Thank you guys so much. It was so fun talking to you. Thanks to Matthias, to Rob, and to Tom, along with Simon and Mr. F. If I've forgotten anyone, it's simply because there were too many awesome interviews on this episode to remember. So, I just want to say thank you again for that. Also, just a few people who have really helped the pod out. Big thanks to Christian Castain, an awesome co-host who really helped me navigate through the first 90 episodes. Intensely loyal, awesome guy. He's got a new podcast, Truth in All Pod. You should go check that out. Our biggest fan, Brian Willis, who has retweeted almost every single podcast we've done. Thank you very much, Brian. Your support means the world to me. You're an awesome dude, and it's just been awesome to work with you at Pro Sports Fandom and through this whole experience. Jonders, who was a huge inspiration for me starting this podcast. The fact that a normal Joe like me and him could start a podcast and get people like Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal, and for Jonders, even bigger names like Rich Eisen and these huge sports media names to come on our podcasts is insane. Thank you to all those people who just give their time for all this. This does not take, it's not just 10 minutes and then you're done. It takes weeks of planning. It takes people cutting time out of their lives to spend 10 minutes talking with you, bullshitting about football. So thank you so much again for all the great listeners, all the great guests, all the great inspirations out there. The Around the NFL podcast, I hope that most of the people on that podcast will be listening to this one. So I'd like to say thank you to you guys. I love your podcast and it inspired me to start my own, and it's one of the best decisions I've ever made. I can't wait to keep doing this podcast and I hope to meet you all someday. And just a huge thanks again to all our listeners, to Chris, to Jonders, to everyone out there who supported the show. All right, well, if I talk much longer, I'll ramble on for another 10 minutes, and I've got to be going now. But thanks very much for listening to the End Zone Podcast. We'll be back in a week or two to start our season previews. Thanks, guys. We'll see you later. Follow us on Twitter at End Zone Pod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.